Take God's word, please, and turn with me to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15. If you're able to stand while you're turning, then you can multitask. Pastor Yassine is waiting over here. I saw that head. I saw that head shake. That was good timing. Matthew chapter 15, and we're a little bit further into the meeting than normal when preaching starts, and I'm aware of that, so we'll just be late. No, I'm just kidding. I'll try to be on time. But God has already done a work. Honestly, my heart is stirred. Aren't you glad that you can have a heart that's stirred? Don't allow your heart to get stony. You can't stir. Is one of these on? Thank you. You can't stir concrete that is hard, right? Am I right, construction guys? If it's hardened, you can't stir it. Don't allow your heart to harden, that you can watch a video like that and it doesn't move you at all. Help me now. You don't have to cry. Everybody doesn't experience the same. I'm bawling up here. But that's me. You don't have to be me. I'm just saying, things like that should stir us to pray more, to give more if we can, to give more gospel tracts out here, to be a missionary here. We have Muslims here that need Christ. Amen? Amen. They had a great time Friday night, by the way, out on Gospel Farsi Outreach. Met some really interested people in truth and just conversation. Probably one of the best, would you say, one of the best Friday nights they've had. Keep praying at 8 p.m. on Friday night, or pray about it as they go out seeking lost souls, specifically Farsi speaking. Verse 21 in our text, we'll get to the message at some point here. We need God's word. I'll read the odd, you join with me on the even, and we're going to stop at 21 to 28, Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments on this theme, a miraculous meeting with a Canaanite mother. A miraculous meeting with a Canaanite mother. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting thus far. I believe, God, your spirit has already stirred us. Now we pray that your word would be placed in our hearts and it would grow and bring forth fruit for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm going to try to give you as much as I can within the allotted time. Some of it we might have to abbreviate a little bit. But here we see in this chapter of the Word of God, the intentionality, if that's a word, the intentionality of the Lord Jesus. It says here specifically that he went thence. In other words, he went there on purpose. And by the way, God always does everything on purpose and with a purpose. Everything that's happened in your life up until today, God has been working. I believe we have a sovereign God who does all things well. I believe we have a sovereign God who loves us, and he sent Christ to die for us so that we could be saved, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. But it's not just all about going to heaven, although that's obviously what we want in the end. But you're not in heaven yet, and neither am I. So God is still working sovereignly in your life. In this case, Jesus makes a about 80-kilometer journey from where he was. A specific journey. Again, Jesus is God. Amen? Okay, five of you believe that. Hopefully the rest of you believe that. That was a great place to say amen. Even ladies were saying amen. Come on, guys. Jesus is God. Amen? Amen. Okay, there you go. We believe that here. It's okay. And so Jesus knew already what was coming, right? All right, it wasn't like he got there and said, oh, okay, hi, nice to meet you. I didn't know you were going to be here. Now, for you and I, we don't know. We don't know that. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God every day. Because we can have meetings just like this every day in our life. It's not just Jesus in Matthew 15. We're not Jesus. I'm just saying God is directing us by his Spirit. We don't know who we're going to meet on any given day. You didn't know you were going to meet those people on Friday night, but you went. And you went. Thank you, both of you. And God led you supernaturally and sovereignly to those men and women, whoever was there. Brother Andrew Kim and a group from The Passage, we went to North Vancouver 2.5 weeks ago. I was battling. I mean, I was even asking you, remember, where should we go? And you weren't feeling well. And anyway, that's a long story short is we never, what's that street up there? Lonsdale. Anybody ever been to Lonsdale in North Van? Okay. Delicious Persian food. Go to Lonsdale. Delicious Persian food, dates, and all the stuff up there. You can go there and take gospel tracts with you because you're going to need to pass them out. And we went up there for the first time taking a group. Never done it before. Honestly, I battled and struggled. Where do we go? What do we do? Where do we go? While we were there, Brother Kim met a Spanish gentleman. Not a Persian, but a Spanish gentleman. That was 2.5 weeks ago. He gave him gospel tracts that had Brother Caesar's number. Brother Caesar reached out to him, or he got his phone number, I think. He reached out to him, nothing, reached out to him, nothing. And then all of a sudden, randomly, on Friday night, this gentleman reached out to Brother Caesar. Thursday night. On Friday, Brother Caesar and I drove to North Vancouver and met with him for a couple hours, and he was gloriously saved. And he came last night. God willing, he'll be here tonight. What I'm saying is, God did that. I didn't do that. Brother Kim didn't do that. God did that. But we had to go where God said to go. Right? Think about it. Or else it wouldn't have happened. Now, Jesus goes on purpose. There is a burdened mother. Now, this mother is not Jewish. In fact, this mother is a Canaanite. If you know anything about the Bible, that's not someone who you, as a Jew, that's not someone that you would go, Jesus being God and loving all people. I'm talking about Jewish people in general. They would not welcome a Canaanite. And vice versa, by the way. The Canaanite would not welcome the Jew either. So there's so much happening here beyond what we're reading in the Bible that we need to understand when we read God's word. It's not just, oh, here's a woman that had a daughter that, oh, that. No, there's a lot happening here. That when we study God's word, we recognize how good God is. This was not a short trip, 80 kilometers, but there was someone in need, and Jesus looks always for opportunities such as the one we read about this morning. And also, you know what it took me back when I read this? It took me back to the Gospel according to John. Would you hold your finger here quickly and go over to John chapter 4? You can even make a note and tie these two together because they're both Gentiles. You know, those dirty old Gentiles. Well, the Jews didn't like them, and Gentiles didn't like the Jews, and we even see that in the early church, and so, praise God, that ended after a while. Amen. And it should be also that way today. Everybody's welcome here. John 4:4, quickly, I just got to do this quickly. And he must needs go through where? Samaria. You could even write Acts 1:8 right there. You could write Acts 1:8 right there. Because that's part of what's in Acts 1:8, Samaria. And also you could again tie this back to Matthew chapter 15, because in the same way, Jesus had to go to Samaria because he wasn't going there just to see what would happen. He knew what was there. He knew who was there, pardon me, right? The Samaritan woman, five husbands, currently living with someone. And yet Jesus said, I have to go. I must needs go there. In the same way, back to our text, it says that Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. This would be your modern day Lebanon. Jesus here had a divine meeting. Previously, Gentiles that had a need came to him. This time, Jesus goes into the Gentile land to have a meeting with a Canaanite mom because he knew what need she had. Notice from our text, verse number 22, just a few bullet points that you can write down about this daughter. Verse 22 says, my daughter is grievously vexed with a what? Devil. I'm not trying to be humorous right now. That is not a good thing. This daughter is possessed and doing all kinds of things that would be very concerning to a mom, a dad, anybody for that matter. And so this woman knows that I need help. So there's a great physical need. There's a great spiritual need within this mother's daughter's life. And then we see some other things about this situation. In verse number 22, we also see that this mother cried unto him. Cried. This is not a mother coming to the Lord Jesus and saying, Jesus, if you have time, I would like to speak to you. No, this is the mother with an urgent need, and she is a fervent intercessor. We're going to use this word intercessor a fair bit here for the next few minutes. Follow along if you would. A fervent intercessor for her daughter. I want to ask you this morning, moms, dads, anybody, who needs you to pray for them? Who needs you to pray for them? I'm sure there's lots of people on your list. I hope your spouse is on your list if you're married. I hope your kids are on your list if you have them. I hope your grandkids are on your list if you have them. I hope your church family is on your list. Lots of people need us to pray for them. This is a mother praying, if you will, cried unto the Lord, praying, interceding passionately, fervently. The effectual prayer, of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual means that we don't just pray one time and we just leave it because, oh, God didn't answer that prayer. Maybe he was on a holiday. Maybe he didn't hear me. No, this isn't the Baal God in Elijah's day, all right? This is the one true God that is living abundantly and he is almighty, and he is listening to the prayers of his children who are living and walking right with him. And so we intercede in a passionate way for those in need. This is what I can see in this mother's life. There was a fervent intercession. But then we see in verse 22, she says, have mercy on... This is interesting. Do you see this? She does not say, have mercy on my daughter. She says, have mercy on me. She is also a humble intercessor. She's not just fervent, but she says, God, have mercy on me. In other words, the burden is so great. Even before she says, my daughter is grievously vexed, she says, have mercy on me. Aren't you glad God is concerned about the deepest, the hardest, the smallest, the largest, whatever it might be this morning in your life? You can come to God if you're saved. And by the way, if you're not saved, you need to come to God first in faith and repentance and be saved so that you can have that father-daughter, father-son relationship. You cannot have that relationship apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible. Jesus said in John 14 that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the who? Father, but by me. You cannot go to God in prayer without Jesus. You go to God in prayer, it's going to hit the ceiling and come back down. It doesn't work. I didn't say that. God's word did. If you're not saved, today can be the day of salvation. May 10, 2026, the cry you need to make is, save me, Jesus. Save me, Father. And guess what happens? The Bible says that he will in no wise cast you out. If you cry out today to God for salvation, he will save you right on the spot. No questions asked. He doesn't need to know your record because he already knows it. He doesn't need to know where you've come from. He's already seen every step you've made. He saw when you were born all the way up till today. God is all knowing. In spite of what you and I have done in our past, God loves us. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah for the love of God. Hallelujah for the love of God. I hope that ministers to you. She was a humble intercessor. Have mercy on me. Here's what I wrote down and was thinking about. This mother took the burden of her daughter and made it personal. I'll say that one more time. This mother took the burden of her daughter and made it personal. Wow. What burden do you and I need to take for somebody else? Say, okay, that's my burden. I'm praying for you until Jesus comes or I die. Or until that's met. I'm praying for that. I have some people that I'm praying for. Can't have children yet. It's a great burden. Pray for them every day. I've taken that burden. I'm not anybody special, I mean, at all. I've taken that burden and I've said, okay, I'm taking that burden. I can't do anything about it. If I could, I'd make it happen. I'd figure it out. If I could pay $50,000, $100,000, I'd find the money and I'd do it. But it doesn't work that way. And I say, God. And I name several families, some of my own even. And I say, God, you must work. You must open that womb up. You must give them a child according to your will. It's a burden. This mom says, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm taking this burden on. I love my daughter. It's my burden as much as it is hers. I thought that to be fascinating. I've read this text so many times, but it never really hit me like that time, this time. That's because God's word's alive. You can read Matthew's gospel every year, and every year you're going to get more out of it. You can read Proverbs every month, and every month you're going to get more out of it. Aren't you glad we have a Bible? Wow. Then, let's keep going. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She was a fervent intercessor. She was a humble intercessor. Thirdly, she was a reverent intercessor. By calling him Lord, she was proclaiming his deity. This is the title for the deity of Christ. Would you hold your finger and go to Romans 10? Romans 10, please. It was great being here last night. I was sitting right there where Sister Ross is. Brother Mejia was up here waxing eloquent in Spanish, preaching the word of God. He was doing a great job. God was helping him. He wasn't feeling 100%, but God was helping him and strengthening him. And whew, boy, now I know what you people feel like that sit under English preaching and that's not your first language. I'm just trying to pick out every eighth or tenth word. I know the books of the Bible mainly, I think, and the numbers, you know, and Miss Virgiana was sitting behind me and she was guiding me, and I think I was at least getting the text right. But anyway, Romanos, right? I think Romanos. And anyway, I'm not going to say any more because I'll mess them all up. Okay, chapter 10. I love being in church. I hope you do too. Look at verse 10. 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is exactly what this lady does in Matthew chapter number 15. With her mouth, she says, you are Lord. You are God. With her mouth. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord, same word, Lord, over all is rich unto all. Notice that word, all, Jew and Gentile. But what must we do? All that call upon him. I'm so thankful that God's telephone number is never busy. If you call on him today, He will listen to your call, a call of salvation. And when you call on him for salvation and you say, Jesus is Lord, he is my Savior, he is the Son of God, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus' blood applied to my account, God says, okay, right there, you are now saved. You are a child of mine. Just like that. Because he said on the cross, it is finished. There isn't any more work to be done. But you have to call. Believe in thine heart and then call. And God will save. This mother was a reverent intercessor. And there's so much more we could say about that, but we must continue on. And then I see as well, as we go back to Matthew 15 and verse 23, Jesus answered her not a word. She got nothing. Have mercy on me, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed. Silence. As far as we know, the next thing that is said is by the very patient and loving disciples. They're so patient and loving. By the way, you and I identify with them. We don't identify with Jesus as much as we do those disciples. Let's fix that. Let's ask God to help us with that, okay? Because everybody in this room has been impatient. I just can't. I'm tired of this. This person just doesn't get it. There was a time when you didn't get it either. There was a time when I didn't get it either. And thank God he was long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And so let's say, God, give me a dose of long-sufferingness. Because the disciples, they didn't have it on this day. Maybe they got out of bed wrong. Maybe they didn't have their breakfast. Maybe their tea wasn't warm enough. I don't know what it was, but you notice what they said. Lord! They didn't even say Lord. They said, send her away. Now notice what they say. Don't miss this. She crieth after us. So what do you see here? I'll tell you what I see. I see this woman is not just talking to God about this, Jesus. She's also talking to anybody around. She is a determined intercessor. Okay, I'm going to go to Cena. I'm going to go to Cena. Cena's not listening to me. Okay, I'm going to go over here. You're not listening to me. I'm going to go tell you. You're not listening to me. And nobody was listening to her. But what did she do? She just kept going. And they said, we've had enough. Send her away. She's bothering us. We're trying to sit here and enjoy the beautiful scenery. I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't patient. Look at verse 27. This is after the Son of God said, I didn't come here to give bread to dogs. Wow. Then she said, notice, truth, Lord. She knew what he was saying was true. That his original intention was to come for the Jews. And the Jews rejected him. It's all in your Bible. Don't have time to go through that whole study right now. So she recognizes, okay, sure, that's right. But, she says, she uses the conjunction yet. And but again, this stands out to me, this word yet. So she is agreeing with Jesus, but she's also saying what the Jewish leaders don't want. Because who rejected him? The Jewish leaders. She's saying, what the Jewish leaders don't want, I'll take it. I'll just sit down there at the table, and what the Jewish leaders push off the table, because they're tired of you. They don't want what you have to say. They really liked you at first, but they don't like you anymore. This is all in the Greek there. I'm just helping the Greek here a little bit. And she says, but I'll take it. Just picture this. Because this is really what is happening. One by one, the Sanhedrin and then the Sadducees and all those people, they are rejecting him. She says, all I want are crumbs. Crumbs will suffice, which fall from their master's table. She was a determined intercessor. And then, notice verse 28. This kind of goes along with it. Then Jesus answered her and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. This is to a Canaanite a Canaanite woman. Great is your faith. He did not simply say, you have faith. It's inspired scripture. So we believe this is exactly what he said, in English anyway. He said, great is your faith. This is also a faithful intercessor. A faithful intercessor. She is a fervent intercessor. She is a humble intercessor. Have mercy on me. She is a reverent intercessor. She worshiped him. She is a determined intercessor. She just kept going to the disciples and then Jesus and then whoever would listen. And then she was a faithful intercessor. We might say, in a vernacular of some, she had a bulldog mentality. What we mean by that is when that bulldog gets a hold of that rope or gets a hold of that bone, whatever it is, that bulldog does not want to let go. And she had something in her mind and in her heart, and she wasn't going to stop going until she met the Master. What a meeting with a Canaanite mother. I ask you, who do you know that is in need of intercession like this? Named in the book of Mark as the Syrophoenician woman. Who do you know that needs it? Spurgeon said, I urge you who seek the conversion of others to follow her example. He's writing about this Canaanite woman. He says, notice she did not pray, Lord help my daughter, but Lord help me. In other words, we need to be helped before we can help others. You can't go out into this world and help people if you don't get a helping from the Word of God every day. How much of a helping are you getting? The other night, the Carino's little baby, last night, Gabriella was holding him. And she had a Bible in her hand. And he's wanting to put everything in his mouth. And I was watching him. He was even trying to get that Bible in his mouth. I was watching him. And I said, you know what? That's a good thing. Not physically. Let's put it in here. But he doesn't know yet. But praise God, he's got a dad and mom who read this book. Amen. Nobody's perfect, but they're trying to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I hope all of us in here are. But it was a beautiful picture of what the Christian ought to be like. It ought to be like getting that book right there, and we're just going to eat it every day. It's milk. It's bread. It's steak. That's in there. Meat. Wow. But we must say, God, help me so I can help others. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He doesn't even go where she is. Wow. And we remember others that came to him. I think the centurion that came to him and said, you don't even have to come under the roof of my house. You can just speak it, and I know it'll happen. And by the way, God does it still today. He's not with us in person. I mean, Jesus is obviously not with us like he was with them there. But in that same way, it doesn't matter from coast to coast. It doesn't matter where we are or where the person you're interceding for is. You may not be with them, but you're bringing their name to the Lord and you're interceding just like this Canaanite mother. And whatever it is that they need, God can meet it right on the spot. May we faithfully be an intercessor. Miss Joy, we're praying to be a praying church here. I really want to make sure we get that card. I don't know how many of you have, but we'll use most of them. But we want some of them. But we want to pray more around here. We believe that. And this is, I believe, what God is showing us the most. There's many other things that we could put on this text. But this woman is praying to Jesus, the Son of God, for her own needs. But it's because she's taken the needs on of her daughter. And God said to her as he watched her, as Jesus watched her, great is your faith. John R. Rice said, faith that will not stand testing is poor faith. Faith is going to be tested. Three quick things and we'll be done. Great faith may be found in unexpected places. It was found, I was just talking about him Matthew 8:10, if you want to write the reference down. I'm not going to have time to go there. There's the centurion. And now a woman. We love women around here, but in Bible days, they weren't looked on as, I mean, they were important, but there was a different level, okay? But I'm saying that Jesus did, I'm not talking about Christians, I'm talking about the way it was in the culture. And Jesus just blasted that out of the water, and he said, I'm going to help a centurion, and I'm also going to help this woman. Matthew 8:10. No one expected a Gentile to believe Jesus with such a degree of faith. What do you think those disciples started doing when Jesus said, great is your faith, and they just got through saying, get her out of here. I hope they turn three shades of red. Because it convicts me every time I've read it, even preparation. Could I say that my faith is great? I don't know. Probably not. I need greater faith. Secondly, great faith is sometimes measured from its disadvantages. From its disadvantages. The centurion and this dear woman who is unnamed, by the way. So many people like that in the Bible that are highlighted greatly. Their faith was great because it did not have the advantage of being nourished by the institutions of Judaism. We might even say that it was actually helped because of that, in a sense. They didn't have the background that even the disciples had. Thirdly, faith is often greatest when it is expressed on behalf of someone else's need. Have mercy on me, my daughter is sore vexed. Yes, she said me, but she said my daughter. When Jesus said, great is your faith, that you could actually translate that word as well. I'm not correcting the Bible, but it's basically saying you have mega faith. Mega. Giant. Great faith. This is an unexpected place. I wonder if the disciples said on the way there, Jesus, why are we going this way? They don't have very good markets down there. We should be going this direction. I don't know that that happened. It might have. I just know that Jesus went with one Canaanite mother on his heart. And by the way, he has the ability to have every one of us here and all other people in the world on his heart because he wants everyone to be saved. If you're not saved, that's your need today. But then, you might be saved. But your life right now is more about the temporal. It's time to change that. It's time to change that. Miss Joy said, there's a lot of Miss Joys in the world, so we'll be careful. Sorry. Whoops. And I even know better. Anyway. There was a statement made about time running out, not much time. Let's invest our vapor for the Lord. Let's invest our vapor for eternity. Let's pray.